Hi, and welcome to the Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on the Art House, a social kitchen lease deal with the City of Gary. The Hammond Common Council approved 5 2020 budget ordinances. Sharon Jackson reports on early voting numbers in Lake County. And Chris Nolte has a conversation about a local collaboration with the Vote 411 Project. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. Gary Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, Democratic mayoral nominee Jerome Prince, and some Gary City Council members have been wrestling with changes Freeman Wilson should make with only 2 months left in her tenure as the city's chief executive. Both sides agree communication between Prince and Freeman Wilson has been sparse, but discussions on the lease for the Art House, a social kitchen, may be a sign they both will work together more closely in the transition to a new mayor. Prince is running unopposed in the mayor's race in November's election. The Post Tribune reports at a council finance committee meeting earlier this month, Freeman Wilson said the changes she's called for in the last months of her 8-year tenure will be good for the city, even under a new mayor. Prince has said he wants the city to put the brakes on major changes while he and his transition team prepare for his move into City Hall. Last week, Freeman Wilson got council approval to restructure the Commerce Department, including launching a, quote, one-stop shop to make it easier for residents and businesses to pull permits and do other business. At the council's finance committee 2 weeks ago, several department heads recommended staffing changes as the council works to approve city budgets, but they ran into some resistance from a handful of council members expressing concern over making departmental changes before January. The Art House, a nonprofit corporation that was started with financing from Bloomberg Philanthropies and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, has become an area of particular interest. The Art House now relies on city funding. Freeman Wilson said the Art House now relies on city funding and it should be a standalone operation. She goes on to say a number of agencies would be willing to fund the nonprofit Art House if the city can get the long-term lease sooner rather than later.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
The Hammond Common Council approved 5 2020 budget ordinances at Monday evening's meeting, but not before tensions mounted. Some of that tension arose from the power outage at Hammond City Hall that began about 10 a.m. Monday, caused by high winds. With elevators not working, council members and other staff had to walk up several flights of stairs to reach the council offices. 8 of the council members attended the 2 scheduled meetings, with Councilman Anthony Higgs absent. Council President Robert Markovich initially sought to postpone the caucus and regular meetings until Tuesday because of the power outage. However, City Controller Heather Garay said council signatures were needed on all budget documents by Monday so the budget could be submitted to the state before Wednesday's deadline. During that caucus meeting, Garay explained key points in the 2020 Hammond budget proposal sponsored by Mayor Thomas McDermott Jr., as well as the salary ordinances for the city employees, firefighters, and police. Hammond City employees will receive a 2% salary increase. The city's overall budget of $102.6 million represents months of work with city department heads and the mayor. The city expects to lose a minimum of $5 million in revenue in 2020 because of the state of Indiana's expiration of the exempt debt that allowed Lake and St. Joseph counties to charge additional property taxes. Once that expiration takes place in 2020, the tax caps fully go into effect. That means all Lake County taxpayers will see a reduction in their property taxes and that the extra money government entities have been receiving will be reduced. However, projected property tax collections will equal $32.3 million, creating a shortfall of $53 million. Money from gaming will provide $92.11 million to the general fund, and while in the past years, each district has received $3.5 million from those funds for infrastructure projects, the districts now only receive $1.75 million annually. Councilman Mark Kalwinski cast the only vote against the 2020 budget. In a conversation with the Post Tribune, Kalwinski said he objects to the cuts for infrastructure projects and park projects that now go to help the general fund, and he gets regular complaints from residents in the first district that their streets aren't being redone. The loss of revenue will also result in job eliminations in the city clerk's office and the closing of the Hammond City Court by year's end. The four other budgets passed unanimously.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Republican legislative leaders are urging the state to use 2018 ISEP scores for school letter grades and teacher evaluations this school year instead of 2019 ILEARN scores. The move comes after widespread alarm from educators and state leaders about a drop in achievement on the state's new ILEARN exam. Test scores are used to help determine school and teacher accountability ratings. Now, House Speaker Brian Bosma and Senate President Pro Tem Rod Bray have sent a letter to the State Board and the Department of Education. The letter urges the department to tell schools they can use 2018 testing data to calculate teacher appreciation grants. The deadline for teachers to receive funding through their teacher appreciation grants, or TAG, is in December. It also says the State Board should show support for the move through a resolution. According to the letter, lawmakers will, quote, expedite a bill after the 2020 legislative session starts in January, directing the board to use 2018 test scores for school accountability grades.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
The early voting numbers in Lake County as of Tuesday, October 22nd, show that people are taking advantage of the convenience. Lakeshore Public Radio's Sharon Jackson spoke with Leanne Engerman, Assistant Director for the Lake County Board of Elections and Registration, about how many people are coming out to vote early and where and when they can early vote.
So how many people have voted early so far in person, by mail, and by email?
In person, by mail, and by email. In person, we're at 2,813. We have 31 by travel board. We have 425 by mail. In email, we have 3.
What is a travel board?
Travel board, we send out one Democrat, one Republican, and one voting machine. They will visit people who are confined to their home or a care facility, and they will physically take the voting machine out to them so they can vote. So
and
it's
how
a
many
special application that people complete for that, but they'll cover the nursing homes and people who are just confined to their individual homes. It's a travel board application. It's different from the mail-in absentee application. It's a travel board application that asks for the travel board to come and visit them wherever they're confined so they can vote. They have to qualify for it.
How long has this travel board been in existence?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, since I've been around, but I'm not sure if there are how long when that law was enacted.
How many early voting precincts are there in Lake County?
Early voting precincts? All of them. 353. How many early voting locations? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
11.
Can you give me the locations or generally and the hours?
Yes. Well, the first location is here in our office at the Board of Elections at the Lake County Government Complex. And their hours mirror our hours, so they're a little bit extended from all the other locations. And then all of them are open on Thursday nights until 7. So Outside of the Board of Elections office, we have the East Chicago County Courthouse, the Gary Genesis Center, Hammond County Courthouse, Hobart Police Command Center, the Lowell Town Hall, Munster Town Hall, Schererville Town Hall, St. John Township Assessor's Office, Wicker Park Social Center, and Winfield Town Hall. And their hours throughout the week are 9 to 3. On Thursdays, they're open until 7. The last two Saturdays, October 26th and November 2nd, they're open from 9 to 2. And the last day for early voting is Monday, November 4th, from 9 a.m. until noon.
Is there anything special that people need to know about voting this particular time around?
About voting this particular time around, I would say a couple of things. These are municipal elections. So those who are just in the unincorporated areas, the township areas, they don't have an election this time around if they are not in a city or town. One thing that we kind of like to bring people's attention to is when you have a situation where it's an at-large race, where it's a pick two or pick three, straight party voting doesn't apply to that. So if you would go in and press your straight party ticket, and in your ballot you have the option for a pick two or pick three scenario where you're choosing two people for an at-large position, they simply won't be selected. You actually need to go through the pages of your ballot and select them. And then at the end, you hit your cast vote button.
What is an at-large position, again?
It would cover all of the districts of one community. So where some communities have a ward and you are sometimes only elected by that ward, or you have to be representative of that ward to qualify to run, an at-large position can be anywhere in the city or town and are voted on by the entire city or town. For early voting, all of the early voting locations have all of the precincts programmed into them. So you can go to any of the 11 early voting locations, regardless of where you live.
Thanks a lot, Leanne. I really appreciate your help.
Not a problem. You have a good day.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation about the Vote 411 project.
The website, the national website, I should say, is vote411.org. That's the name of the website. And the League of Women Voters Education Fund established that several years ago. And now we have a local version of the National 411 Project here in Northwest Indiana. With us in studio to talk about it is Sarah Ferraro and Terry Weems. They are both with the League of Women Voters of the Calumet area. In fact, Terry does a lot of specific work with candidate outreach for that particular part of the project. And also with us, Miranda Fishback. She is with the Legacy Foundation. Her title is Community Engagement Coordinator. So she is working very closely on this project as well. Ladies, thank you for joining us on the program today. I'll toss it over to you and tell us how we get started here to explain what the Vote 411 project is all about and how to fit in here in Northwest Indiana in particular.
Sure. Thank you, Chris, for having us. And thank you, Lakeshore, for letting the citizens know more about this awesome project. Yes, it's a national part of the League of Women Voters of the U.S. We have brought it here to the Lake County since 2018. This is our third general election, our third election building this for Lake County. So basically, it's a one-stop shop. If you go on the site, you can put in your address and see who's on your ballot. And then in partnership with RISE, Northwest Indiana, and the League of Women Voters, we build a candidate survey that goes out to all candidates, and they get an opportunity to answer questions that are in on the site.
What seemed to be the impetus for getting this created was the fact that you could never find any specific one place where you could find, if not all the information, at least most of the information that somebody who is interested in the candidates, interested in the election, wants to know before they have to go to the election polls to actually cast their.
I think it's exactly like what you just said. There are sites out there or places where you can see through the Secretary of State who's on your ballot, but not necessarily their views or some things that the candidate wants to say. So this is exactly a one-stop shop. Like we're saying, you can see where and when to vote. The National League plugs in polling places. And there's just a variety of information on there. Plus, we can upload debates or forums that happen locally or nationally It's an amazing website. And they've retooled the website. Mm-hmm. They spent the league nationally, remarketed it, and it's amazing. It's a lot flashier. So.
And I would just like to add, back in 2018, over the summertime, Rise NWI, we spent a lot of time at summer festivals and parades, and we talked to a lot of Lake County residents, and we asked them, do you vote? And if you don't, why don't you vote? And one of the big responses we did get was, I feel like I'm better off not voting because I don't know who's on my ballot. I don't know what these candidates are really standing for. So my vote is better left unresponded just because I don't know who's on my ballot. And that was really one of the main reasons why Rise NWI reached out to the league and we formed this partnership, because the League of Women Voters has a wonderful website, which is the vote411.org website. And we really wanted to bring that locally because back in 2018, there really was not that local, easy-to-use source that people can go to.
And I'm glad Miranda said local because, Chris, it really is all about – there's so many sources that people can find for national information. But here for our county, for our local elections, whether all the way down to school board, those are the folks that we're reaching out to that we want more people to get to know and the candidates to be engaged with us. So
these are probably sources too, aside from the big ones like you can expect out there. When you Google Ballotpedia, you're going to get this big Wikipedia style tailored to specific to elections, but you're going to get a lot of things there, and you might not get any specific information about a local candidate. And Terry, did you, in working with, in terms of this outreach, as a candidate outreach is what I understand your role is doing with on this project with the league, did you have opportunities to talk more with candidates, try to get specific information that in turn will go into this this big database, so to speak?
Yes, I've contacted a number of candidates, approximately 80 within the last week.
Wow.
All over Lake County. And I find that they are very receptive in being able to give us information so that we can get it out on the site. Mm-hmm. And I find that the site is helpful because we are into social media more so than the public radio, and not the radio, but
or just the overall media, I imagine,
and whatever. So it becomes real easy for people to find that information. I know I've gone on government sites before, and then you have to kind of like search specifically for this, that, and the other, where with us you put in your personal information and you're able to get that without a problem.
I know that certainly in elections past that a lot of residents have turned to like the Times and the Post Tribune because they would devote the space in print as well as online to talk about the candidates, about just general election information. And you feel this kind of follows maybe along with that, or maybe makes it more easy to access for somebody that just wants to find out, go on the computer and find out more information about a candidate? Does it seem to work out better that way, or does it work in hand with what is already out there?
It one complements the other.
Yeah.
One complements the other.
And I think, you know, the Times has a wonderful candidate survey that they reach out to the candidates and they ask for their participation. And we do ask very different questions opposed to the Times. And I think, you know, go to both. Go to the Times' website, go to our website, go to vote411.org and see, you know, the different questions and have a very well overview of your candidates. And just to really reiterate, going to vote411.org, you just see your information. You type in your address and you're only seeing those candidates that will be on your ballot when you go to the polls.
Do you think that with this municipal election, cities and towns both, this will make it a lot easier for people who are interested in knowing ahead of time before they go to the polls who's out there? If they're not already aware of the candidates, they can be able to focus in, zero right into these people almost to a precinct, I would imagine, that you get that basic information. And this is certainly going to help next year in the next general election, the primary elections ahead in 2022, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
And I think one thing through the work that Terry's doing with the outreach, we're building relationships with these folks that are running for office, whether they're currently in office or seeking the office, and that's just helping all of us and our organizations all around. So we're reaching out to them, we're encouraging them to be more engaged with citizens, and just hoping that they will utilize this nonpartisan site that the National League has put out there, and that we've refined for the second largest county in our state. I'm so proud of the work, because we do have so many, especially in our primary. I'm sure Chris knows from talking elections on the radio, is that there's so many candidates here in Lake County. And it's a lot of work, but I'm really proud that we've built this, and we're going to continue on and do the best we can. And just to go back to one thing you said real quick, this can also be sent to your, there's a lot of options through vote411.org. If you'd like to send the information to your phone so that you can review it before you go into your poll and cast your vote, there's that option too. So there's some things that you can do that are very different than other tools out there. It really is.
Yeah, and to expand on that, just to kind of go over what the user would see on their website, they type in their address, and then they can either view their full ballot, they can narrow it down by a certain party, but I really recommend view your whole ballot, and you will see for each race, side by side, the candidates. You can read the questions. You can see what they're all about. Then you can actually select which candidate you believe you will be voting for. Once you're all done with your ballot, you can either put your cell phone number in and text yourself that ballot, or you can email yourself that ballot. And as Sarah just mentioned, you can review that before you go into the polls, just as a refresher.
Do you think that this particular service, vote411.org, on the local basis, will help out, and certainly past this election coming up here in just a few weeks, but also in the ones ahead in 2020, and for that matter, too, any of the and we're liable to see many more of them in the future than we have, the public referenda votes, which will come up here. As school districts, particularly here in Lake County, are feeling the crunch because of the lifting of the property tax caps, and they're going to have to go to the voters in their particular school district, wherever it may be, and ask for help. We're going to say we're going to need a school tax referenda, which will call for an increase, and you're going to have to help us out, because this is the only way we can be able to keep the services alive in this particular school district. Will you see this opportunity with the service to make it easier to understand these referendum questions? They're pretty obtuse. You know, they're just basically legal questions, and they don't get many explanations, and that's usually up to the superintendents of the specific school districts to go out there and do the walking and knocking on doors and holding a public meetings to explain to their particular voters why they're asking for help. Is this going to help out in many respects over time?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. In addition to the candidates, we do have public questions on the vote411.org survey, and we did that in the primaries. We did have the school referendum questions on the website, so if you were within the school district that you would be voting for that public question for the referendum, you were able to review that information, and then we also took it one step further, and we put the contact information for that school corporation. So if you did have additional questions, you could reach out to, because those questions are very confusing for a lot of people, because the language, it just doesn't make sense to a lot of people, you know?
It's not something you're used to reading. It's very legal,
it's written by
way of, you know, specifically in the statute that allows for the questions to be asked of voters.
So. Exactly. Yeah, so that's why we put that school contact information, because the school corporations are very open to answering any questions that the voter would have about that referendum and what that money would be used for. So we do take that next step.
And that was Chris' feedback that we got from not only our partnership, the league members and the executive board, and us, the volunteers that we have through RISE. They said, what else, you know, what are things that you're still confused about that we need to enhance the site with? So we've really honed in on some things. Another thing is certain judges' races. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find out about people that are running for judge, the Supreme Court judges that are just nominated by the governor and things like that. How do you find out, you know, who to retain and things like that? So people were asking, how can I find out more, and is there more that you can do from the league and the RISE side to put this on Vote 411? So
Now we're getting so close to this next municipal election coming up. Is there anything more that the League and RISE and others working on this project have to do, or do you just have to get the last of the data in and maintain it all through the next few weeks here, past up to and past Election Day?
So we will continue conducting outreach to the candidates. Just a little bit of more information about that. We really make it easy for the candidates to respond. Mm-hmm. So if a candidate is listening and you have not yet responded, please feel free to reach out to us, and we will resend you that information. But we do send a mail copy, so they can submit by paper. They can also scan and fax that back to me. We do send email reminders out to all the candidates that we have emails for, and then the wonderful phone calls. You know, we have 180 candidates on the ballot for the election this year, and we contact each and every candidate. We take our nonpartisan status very seriously, and we want to make sure that everyone has the same opportunity to submit their responses. So we will be continuing candidate outreach up until Election Day. They're welcome to submit up until Election Day.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also, we promote the site on both of our social media sites and through our organizations. We're pushing this out because we want people to utilize it. Now we're reaching out to the candidates, but now it's time that people are, you know, they're early voting or they're getting ready to make their plans to go on November 5th. And so we want them to have that tool right in their phone or right on their computer so that they can do their research and make their decisions beforehand.
It's probably a little early to think about 2020, but I guess you have to be thinking about that too, if not the day after the election, but even a little before, like right now. To be ready, or at least if there are any changes that you have to make to be able to get ready for the next set of candidates who will be on the next set of ballots coming up, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yes. We are already having conversations about what needs to happen to make sure we are accurately prepared to be able to hold vote411.org for the 2020 elections.
Well, Sarah Ferraro and Terry Weems and Miranda Fishback, thank you for joining us to talk about the vote411.org project as it shows up locally, working through the agreements and support that you have together with the League of Women Voters of the Calumet area and of RISE Northwest Indiana and the Legacy Foundation, because they're all partners in all of this as well, too. Thank you for being with us to talk about this, and we'll let you get back to sorting through the data and getting the candidates' information in. There's still a big pile of it, I'm sure, that has to be done. But in turn, it'll be out there available at vote411.org for people that want to check out. Thanks for being with us today to talk about it.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.